There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Sure glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And the phone number, text line, as always, 343-0106. Coming up, Mike Gallagher, of course, who does the show that just finished up for this one. He's in town from his studios in New York doing his shows here in Mobile. And he's going to stop by our studios and talk later on this hour. But we want to start off with Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson because there's a lot to talk about with the mayor. Good to get you back in studio.
Good to see you, Sean. Good to be here this afternoon.
It's good to have you here. And this is a subject that I know that I read a little bit of the article that John Sharp wrote about this, and I've heard you talking earlier this morning about this. This is, I guess, the last time you and I were talking. We were talking about the Civic Center. We were talking about Cordish, the company, and the plan for what was going to happen down at the Civic Center. So there's more information on this today.
Yeah, so what we were doing, we were taking, assimilating all the information we had learned from what Cordish wanted to do, what the other developers had suggested, and what the community, some of the special interest groups wanted, and in an effort to try to move Cordish forward quickly, you know, so that they didn't have to go have as many on-site meetings with the different groups, that we pulled together a plan. Then we rolled it out to the city council to show them, and then we showed it to some of these special interest groups that have been very vocal to see if it was suitable, you know, mm-hmm. to them. And we got very, very positive response about it because pretty much we listened, and we think that we have a plan that is the basis for what Cordish could do. But I think that, you know, ultimately it comes back to how can Cordish improve upon it? How can they put bells and whistles on it, and can they make it work?
Right, because here's something that's costing the city, what, over $1 million a year.
Right.
And now you're going to a developer, a private enterprise, and saying, hey, take this on, and they've got to take it on, make it right, and make money doing it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that that's, in any of these things, a city pays part of the price of whatever's done, as does the developer. I think it would be a stretch to think that Cordish would pay for the rebuilding of the arena unless they figure out a way to use it. Mm-hmm. And kind of if you were just wishing and hoping, you would say they can take their live entertainment and also do something with the arena. You know, and it may not be full-time they can do the arena, but they can help us with the programming of that so that it's not just a dead weight around your neck.
You know, I'm looking at the idea of this plan that y'all rolled out here and looking at some of the design. Very interesting. It's obviously the same footprint. It's the same geography, but different things added. Some places are exactly the same. The structure is in the same place, but there's things that are additional in the way you deal with parking and some other issues and different uses of that land. It's pretty interesting. I think people are going to like to look at this.
Well, the response, as I said, has been very positive. You know, then to kind of be very pointed about some of it, you know, like for the residents that live off of Lawrence Street and mm-hmm. what the Church Street East neighborhood, you know, they wanted a buffer along that street. And so that's why we put the single family homes and some townhouses along Lawrence Street. And then the parking we put behind the theater. And then for future development from a commercial hotel or office building, that was even behind the parking further to the south of there. But anyway, we've pretty much filled up the footprint. Mm-hmm. Now, the real key is, what can Cordish do to, I'm going to say, improve upon, embellish the plan, and how can they make it work? But the idea was that we wanted to get the Mobilians, you know, bought in, know that we had listened to them, but also to help kind of tee them up so that when Cordish came in, it would not be maybe be as big a sell.
Well, I know that you've listened to a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of different special interests. The big one I can think of right now is going to be Mardi Gras, of course, right?
But there's Mardi Gras, there's the Church Street East organization, and there's also the downtown business owners, the restaurateurs, the hoteliers.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's been some real concern on their part, but after looking at the plan yesterday, they were very happy and satisfied with what we showed them.
So, okay, let's break these down into different
And there's
pieces.
One of the special interest group. Mobilians in general,
okay,
the entire city. You know, so we have a lot of emails from individuals that weren't part of one of these other groups. You know, that we've factored into that.
But there are still have some concern one way or another with that facility.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about first of all. Let's go to the for me the Mardi Gras one.
Right.
There will be a structure to hold balls in.
Yes. Yes, it would be. And it would be the arena as they know it.
Okay.
But we're separating, we're tearing down Expo Hall, and so we're shortening that hallway going that way to Expo Hall.
Okay.
And then when you go toward the theater, we're cutting that hallway off also so that you have a standalone facility in the arena and you have a standalone theater.
Okay. So that part is the, I mean, there are going to be balls will be going on there as per they have for quite a long time. The other part of what happens there is year-round, the different shows. It could be music shows. It could be a different entertainment that goes on at the Civic Center. What about that? That's still going to be happening, or what, is that change?
Absolutely. No. Hopefully what you would do is that you would put, let's just say, bells and whistles and some things in there that allow you to do shows that you possibly can't do today. And like we had mentioned, the rigging and the ceiling.
Right. Yeah, this has been a concern that they can't hold the weight for certain things.
And so there are some other things I know that could be done to take the arena so that it then becomes a more viable and competitive venue, because you're competing with, you know, people in Pensacola, the Wharf, competing with Mississippi, the coast of Mississippi. And so we've got to have a place where we can have those events, but it's got to be able to handle those that want to come here.
Okay, so this is, I mean, at this point, and I want to run to the break and come back and talk more about this, but at this place, this point, it seems like you're satisfying what have been the concerns on this.
Absolutely. I mean, I really think we have, Sean, because if you look back, the last study was in 2009, you know, about what needed to happen in the Civic Center. And they said either tear it down or fix it so that it's more competitive. Before that, there was another study. You know, and what's happened in every situation, in my opinion now, is that mayors realize that it's going to be very difficult to satisfy everybody, and everybody that's involved is very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that split the hairs here. The challenge is going to be to be able to work with Cordish so that they, and investing their own money, are going to make sure that they can get a return, because not only Cordish needs a return, but the city needs a return, because we can't just go put money in it and not expect to have something better.
Right. Coming right back, we'll get your questions as well. I see some coming in on the text line right now for Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, talking about what is next, the next plan for the Civic Center, and talking about it right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, our guest in studio, and talking about the plan for the Civic Center and what is the... I don't know. Somebody said Plan B. I think maybe it was John or something. Is this Plan B, or where are we on the... Because, I mean, mayors have been looking at this before even you, Mayor Stimson.
Oh, yeah. But it's been looked at by, I think, every mayor for the last 20 years.
And they all whistled right past it, looked at something else, and then you decided to deal with this.
Well, the reason we did was that we know what the deferred maintenance is, and we know there's going to come to a point in time where there's going to be major money spent on it, you know, minimum $10 or $15 million. So that is, let's find out what our alternatives are before we sink that kind of money in it. And that's what the driving force has been.
So what do we do now to go forward with this? You're talking about this plan, and I want people to check it out. I thought it was very interesting to see how the footprint, the 22 acres, is being used. But it does have, as we know it, the Civic Center for Mardi Gras balls and right. and Disney on Ice and monster trucks and music shows and all that stuff going on, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's going to happen. Theater is going to be separate.
It's just separate. I mean, it's just like the theater is today. You would upgrade it, and you would add a, I'll call it a vestibule, but a little piece to the front to the northeast corner of it,
okay.
just to give you more room for the crowd to mingle before the events,
okay.
because we're cutting off that hallway going to Expo Hall.
I'm just
going to it, the arena. And so it would be a modernized theater.
Okay, so those would be, and then we talk about the Cordish coming in, the company to do other parts of this. So would Cordish be responsible for one part, but the city would be responsible for the theater and for...
That's exactly right, Sean, and that hadn't been defined, but there would be some kind of delineation about what they want, because they've got to have a big enough footprint in order to make money. And does that mean they need... They wouldn't come just for the live entertainment piece of it, okay? They've got to have the hotel. They've got to have some other stuff. You know, our hope is that they could figure out how to help us with our arena. You know?
Yeah, how do they? I mean, if they get to come in here and do this concept for live or do the hotels or do the things like that, how do they help Mobile?
So they are one of the biggest booking agents in the country, if not the biggest. And so they have entertainment moving all over the country, going from venue to venue. So they could say, well, your next stop is Mobile, Alabama, and, you know, you're going to be in the arena. You know?
Okay.
But that's not their primary play to do that. I mean, there are not many arenas around the country still like the ours, but we just have to find out what they think they can do with it.
And so they would come in, and you say delineation, so it would almost be like we draw a line. This is property of the city of Mobile. This is property of Cordish over
That's
here.
That's right. You could possibly actually deed them the property, you know, for their footprint,
okay.
for whatever it is they would do.
You talked about phases of mm-hmm. this, and I appreciate it. I think I was reading your interview with John Sharp, where it was thinking about mayors to come.
Yes.
And what they might do. So explain this idea for phases.
You know, there's no way that you can go build this out over, you know, the next 3 or 4 years. Okay, it's too much money, and you don't have the market here to absorb it. So if you put too many restaurants in there, it's going to hurt Dolphin Street.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a bunch of apartments in there, it would hurt those that are being built right now. And so it's a matter of moderation and metering it in. And that's a little bit of a guess as you do that. You got to let the market the free market play into that. But I don't see it all being able to happen at one time. But the neat thing about the plan is that if ALDOT and the FHWA would go along with the concept of the West Tunnel Interchange, where they would allow, consider the moving of what is South Claiborne over to South Royal, and to where we could connect with La Slava. And I know the listeners are having a hard time understanding that, but it would free up about 20 plus acres for future development, which would be a big deal.
I had the luxury of looking at the map you showed me, and people will be able to check that out soon. Yeah. But let's do this. Explain it to me. Like, we're going to hop in your truck. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to ride down. Where are we going to go now that we couldn't go, like, in this design? Because you showed it to me.
If I leave the front of the auditorium,
okay
and if I were to take a right on Claiborne Street,
okay.
I would be going straight across to a Slava Street.
Okay,
that's the road. Okay, but I would have to cross under where the entrance is, or over where the entrance is to the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
But the existing ramps coming out of the tunnel, the real high one, that comes down to the ground.
Right.
Right. And so what they're doing, they're cleaning up the West Tunnel Interchange to make it, I think, more driver friendly.
Good.
And help the traffic count.
This is part of
it's an ALDOT program that has been approved, project that's been approved. But when the bridge conversation ramped up, they decided to make the West Tunnel Interchange a part of the bridge project.
Okay.
Well, with the bridge being where it is, you know, I don't know what ALDOT or the FHWA's position would be, but should they choose to carve it back out, you know, then there's no reason why that couldn't be done.
West Tunnel Interchange is, in your opinion, I mean, it's its own entity. It can be valid outside of the bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that goes into this bigger scene, because it's funny, we're looking at a big picture here in the studio of this,
right.
And it would bring that together, that what's now, I guess, green space.
That's exactly right. You'd have two parcels. One of them's about 13 and a half acres, and the other's eight or so. Plus?
Yeah, it's funny, when you first showed me that acreage, I'm like, we don't have that acreage, because we drive over it all the time.
That's
we don't
right.
think about it
That's right.
underneath there.
And it won't be ours initially. I mean, it's owned by the Federal Highway Administration, okay?
Okay.
So what happens to a lot of surplus property like that as the state, the sequence of ownership could be, they could deed it to the state.
Okay.
And at some point and under certain circumstances, the state could deed it to the city.
Okay. So these are things that take time. You talk about phases of this.
Yeah.
These not going to happen overnight.
No, but it's the first time we have identified
that's interesting.
A piece of property that large, you know, that could carry you into, you know, the next couple of decades.
As you kind of walk this through, timeline, I love timelines, you know,
yes.
Even just projected timelines. So this is brought out, this plan. You showed it to the city council the other day. What's next? When do you, does Cordish look at this and tell you something, and then the council says, how does this work, Mayor?
So it's now between, let's say, the administration and Cordish, you know,
okay.
to work out what they can do and what they can't do. I mean, the reality of really can
because this is your wish list. This is a wish list
this
to say,
exactly,
hey, Cordish,
right.
This is what we want you to
that's
do.
That's right. And, you know, and it may say, you know, Mayor, we can't do that, you know. And so then we're at either.
Then you go, yes, you can.
Then we're at an impasse where he says, well, if you're going to do that, that's going to be your money,
yeah.
You know, not going to be my money.
Right.
But we hope that we can start that conversation, you know, tomorrow. And we will see how it goes.
And so, because they, right now, because it's not anything, they haven't offered something that you're waiting word back. You're actually saying, here's our idea. So
that's
then
right.
they would digest it for some period of time before coming back and saying,
yeah.
Yes, we can, no, we can't.
Oh, they may discount it out of hand and just say, none of that works. I mean, we'll have to just wait and see.
What do we do then? I mean, what do we do if they do? It's a situation where there's a lot of will here to have mm-hmm. a facility there, but it's also something that costs a lot of money.
Right. Sean, I'm betting right now that we'll be able to determine a way forward with Cordish.
Okay.
And so I really haven't given a lot of thought to what do we do, other than I know that we've got a plan that's doable. What we don't know is the economic feasibility of it. And so instead of speculating on what we do, let's get with Cordish and see what we think the pathway forward is.
All right. And let's talk about short term. Mardi Gras this year.
Yes, we have it. And what we've said is that we will have the Civic Center open through Mardi Gras 2021.
Okay. So 2020, 2021,
right.
Mardi Gras is there.
Right.
Okay. Because I mean, every time, before I can even look at my email, somebody's going to be asking.
Yeah.
So Mardi Gras for the next two. That economic engine, I mean, number one tourist attraction in the state of Alabama, right? I
think the Battleship.
Battleship. Well, but tourist, I guess, maybe multi-day event. There's some way that they said Mardi Gras was, I think, maybe multi-day or something. There's something that I saw from, they were looking at all the different things that go on in Alabama. And Mardi Gras is, obviously, for us down here, if it is for the state, it's a huge economic engine. I've heard different numbers and what it means for revenue.
Sean, there's some misinformation out about that. This is really a big party for Mobilians. And then we have, you know, visitors come in.
Sure.
But unlike New Orleans that has so many visitors come in, I don't know what the ratio of visitors versus citizens that live here. But
we're spending money like we normally wouldn't spend money.
Right.
You know, go look downtown.
But the idea is we've got to figure out a way to get more tourists to Mobile. I mean,
this is
bottom line.
But this is something you were engaged with this when I talked to you right after you were inaugurated. You know, you come in, and this is something that the city has really made an effort to do. Is it paying off? Is there a, you know, people say, well, unless we're gambling, people aren't going to come here. Or unless we have an amusement park, people aren't going to come here. I'm such a homer that I think everybody should want to come here because it's my hometown. But what do you do? How do you sell this somewhere else? How do you go to Atlanta and tell people to come here?
Yeah, so under the leadership of David Clark, who mm-hmm. now handles runs Visit Mobile. Now, I'm confident that David, through his network, his vision, and things that will be created, whether it's a series of festivals, you know, that people will come here, I'm convinced that we will increase the tourism. You know, the challenge is how quickly can you increase it? Because when you look at Savannah or you look at Charleston, I mean, we pretty much have all the same things that that they have.
Right.
And so they've done a better job marketing and enticing, getting conventions, and just the overnight visitor.
Well, the people get in a habit of going somewhere,
that's
rare,
right? Yeah. Yeah, they get in the habit of it, but also we want Mobile to be part of that habit.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. We hear other places, well, we always go to so and so for this and that, or this time of year we like to go to so and so. How do we push our way into that crowd?
It's through leadership, through advertising, through marketing. And through making sure that the venues that we do have, or the attractions that we do have, whether it's exploring the museums or the duck boats or the paddle wheeler, you know, right. We've just got to make sure that we do an outstanding job.
Well said. All right. Yep. Before we wrap up, if you had to tell somebody what they need to know about the Civic Center project that they don't know now, what do they need to know?
So there is no done deal right now. You know, we're still in the process of trying to get to a point where we have, you know, we have defined the scope and agreed upon a scope of what will be done, and then we've got to have a contract to start the process of actually construction. But at that point, it will be very clear what the City of Mobile does, what the developer does, what the cost will be, and what the anticipated return is.
All right. When you hear back from Cordish, will you come back and visit with us?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Mayor, thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. Always good talking to you. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson in the studio. We'll come back, and Mike Gallagher is going to join us. He is in town, you know, for the New York-based show, national show, in town, in our city, because the two biggest donors to his charities came from right here. I've got to bring a smile to the mayor of Mobile's face. The two biggest donors for his charity national radio show came from our city. And you know what? I'm not surprised, but I'm proud to hear more about it when he does it on his national radio show. Well, he hung around a little bit here in Mobile. He's going to join us for Midday Mobile coming up in just a couple minutes. Plus, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams talks about the heat wave breaking, which could be like... it could be 91 and feel refreshing. So we'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up in just a second. Coming right back. More of the show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Very happy to say Mike Gallagher, who you heard, of course, before Midday Mobile today, has hung around here in Mobile to be on the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being in Mobile.
Well, I had to find out who this Sean Sullivan was, because everywhere I go, everybody's talking about Sean Sullivan, Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. I thought, man, I need some job security. I'm always looking over my shoulder, so you never know. So please tell me you don't have any aspirations for 9 to noon. Am I safe in 9 to noon here?
Right, because that would mean I would come in here about 4 something in the morning and get off there at 2. No, you're good. You're good. I do need a break. I need a midday break.
Because you're not working enough hours during the day, Sean.
Holy cow. I'll take that. Yeah, you're good. You're safe. I need that little breather in the middle.
Like the Supreme Court, I got lifetime job security.
That's right. You have a lifetime appointment because, yeah, I'm not doing another shift. So exciting, number one, to meet you in person and to do it here in Mobile, to have you show up in town. When I heard this, I was like, Mike's coming from New York? Coming to Mobile? That's cool.
And it's cool. What's cool is two different folks donated big bunches of money to some of our philanthropic efforts. And to have two big donors in the Mobile area who are FM Talk 106.5 fans is so cool for me. And the people I met, two of them are anonymous. They don't want the husband and wife, and they're just big-hearted people who love the Lord, love this station, love the community. And then these folks today at Fair Hope Direct, this Christian business, they made a donation to one of our campaigns. And then, of course, the death of Officer Cousette. All of this kind of came together almost like a God thing, because my show's foundation assists the families of police officers who've been killed in the line of duty. You guys have lost 4 officers in this year. It's awful. And so we thought, let's tie it all together. Let's come visit the market. Let's come by the radio station. And we've just had a blast. I mean, what a wonderful community. And it's exactly what everybody told me it was like. You know, people with big hearts, big smiles. Well, God's country.
Yeah, and I'm excited to have you here. I do want to, and we'll circle back, because I remember not long after you were on the station, we lost Officer Tudor right here in Mobile, and I reached out to you, and you did what you've done for officers falling all over the country, bringing that national attention. So I know the people here in Mobile, especially people in Tuscaloosa, with Tuscaloosa Police Department, appreciate that national attention. We can work as a big nation, a big family here, to help these families that are going through the worst possible scenario ever.
And the last thing we want them to worry about is clothes for the funeral, or because the goal is we get the funds to them as quickly as we possibly can. But Sean, I got to tell you, your listeners were the ones who always reach out to us. Oh, Mike, we lost another officer here in Mobile, and this week I was getting text messages, and we were getting calls. We lost an officer in Tuscaloosa. So your audience is very, very pro law enforcement. You know, I love that, and very attuned to the needs of these families. So just a joy and a mixed bag, because obviously it's with a heavy heart that we have to be here for this officer.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and appreciate you're not just doing it now. You're doing it for officers. I mean, the sorrowful situation is it's Alabama today, but sad to say it's going to be somewhere else tomorrow, or, you know, God
Sean,
forbid.
Sean, it's about 150, 160 officers a year. I mean, we go through, every check goes by my desk, and it's too many. It's officers are under siege, and now we got this anti-police sentiment, which is being accelerated. You know, in New York, where I spend a lot of time, you got people...
What's with the throwing the water
throwing
on their...
water and milkshakes. Well, you got Mayor de Blasio, who doesn't care about really protecting and having the backs of officers. They eliminated stop and frisk, which was an effective law enforcement tool. You know, police officers know they have a sixth sense. They see somebody in the subway that is loitering. They got to, and so often when they would do the stop and frisk, they'd find unlawful weapons on them. They'd be able to. Well, the Democrats in control in New York said, no, that's racist, it's unconstitutional, you can't stop and frisk somebody just because of what they look like, that's racial profiling. And so crime is on the rise. And
that's what I'm about to say, the pendulum. So my sister lives in Harlem, and you know, we talk, the pendulum swings both ways. It seems like sometimes there's... you know, reaction may be, oh, well, there's too much, or things get too good. In other words, there's not the issues with crime, and people say, oh, man, we've got this solved, and it's too much policing going on. They're always on my case. So then politicians move to limit law enforcement, and here comes the natural swing of the pendulum back the other way. Then crime gets really bad, and then every citizen goes, enough of this. We got to get harder. We got to get tough on crime.
And not only that, Sean, but every officer is scrutinized by somebody sticking a camera in their face when they're trying to make an arrest. They're trying to investigate, and you got people yelling at them. I mean, we have to have our law enforcement officers' backs, and we do. Gallagher'sHeroes.org is our
site. Tell people right now who are listening how to help.
Yeah, if you want to help Officer Cousette's family, leaves, as we know, two daughters, or any officer who has fallen in the line of duty, gallaghersheroes.org, or call 888-99-I-GIVE, 888-99-I-GIVE, or you can just text the keyword police to 800-655-MIKE, and we'll send you back a link as to where you can make a secure donation to the Fallen Officer Fund, the Mike Gallagher Show Charitable Foundation. And thank you, Sean, for the opportunity to tell everybody about the foundation.
Hey, it's our pleasure. It's our way to help. And if you're just joining us, Mike Gallagher in studio on Midday Mobile. This was like back in the 80s when the sitcoms would have one set of characters show up on the other sitcom. You're like, oh, what happened?
The crossover.
Yeah, you're like, wait.
I know
really,
that guy.
It's really happening. They're on the other show. So it's good to have
like
you in
town. Like when Maude was on with All in the Family.
Right. You're like, well, wait, they're not, they've crossed the line. They're on the other show.
So I'm Archie Bunker, and you're George Jefferson.
There you
guess,
go.
Or
that,
something.
That's perfect for me. And so we're on the other show. But you are in Mobile, and I got to say thank you today for bringing so much attention to our city. I mean, we're very proud of it, but to let it, to let it be known to a bigger audience, it's we appreciate it.
And I'm not kidding. From the Uber driver who listens to you, to the people at the hotel, to the people at the restaurant, I mean, you guys have a great following, a very loyal audience, and it really is an honor. When I got the news, you know, Laura Ingram, who's a friend, terrific host, and I just knew she couldn't do morning radio, and because unlike you, some of us like want to only work 6, 7, 8 hours days.
Right.
And that's a long day for her with her show at night at Fox News. So I picked up a lot of affiliates like yours who, when Laura retired from radio, I must tell you, the response we get from Mobile is astounding. We get calls, texts, emails, and I just know that it just feels like a great connection and a great fit. And so this was kind of a neat, even though it's a quick in and out visit, I hope you'll have me back where I can spend some more time, because I've been dealing with Bill. We're gonna have our advertisers touch base, and we're gonna sell some products and sing the praises of FM Talk 106.5.
Man, I love it. I want to say this, and this could be my jab here, and then I'll get away. I'll start acting right again. But you, as a lifelong radio guy, started early in your teens. I'm a guy who's been, you know, this all other than stuff that involves sweating, paint, or mowing. This is all I've done is broadcast and radio. You know, you see this, and I'm not going to pick on any particular people, but they come from a TV side or come from a political side. And they said, now we're going to have a radio show.
Right.
And I almost want to take the hourglass and turn it over and watch the sand run through it, because there's something, and not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but, or maybe we're stupid, but the grind of radio is a lot harder than some people realize before they get into it. And you watch them drop off because they're like, I have to do the show every day. I have to show up every day and do it.
And do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, and just go.
And Sean, I mean, I know radio folks, and you're a radio guy. I'm a radio guy. In fact, it's why a couple of years ago I walked away from Fox News Channel, because I'd been a Fox News contributor for years, and I realized this is kind of stupid. And I remember the night, it was August of 2016, I was going to do a three-minute hit on Lou Dobbs' show. And
right.
I love Lou.
Yes.
4 hours of my life
yep.
that I could never get back. And I thought, wait a minute, let me just stay in my lane. I do a three-hour radio show every day. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I love to do. Plus, living in Manhattan at the time in New York City,
right.
conservatives are getting water dumped on their heads,
yep.
Screamed and chased out of restaurants. Just ask Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Right.
And I thought, I don't need this. I love the anonymity of radio,
yep.
and I am a radio guy. And Sean, I know what you're saying, because I know people who say, I could do that.
Yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes.
How hard is 3 hours or 4 hours a day?
Just turn that hourglass over. Sure.
Well, guess what? They last sometimes 6 months, maybe a year, and then they say, I can't do it anymore. And that's why, nothing to take anything away from Laura, but you can't start at 7 in the morning
and
go
do
to
TV.
Midnight.
Right.
Come on. So listen, this is where we live. This is what we do. I love it. And is there a better time, Sean, to have a radio Mm-mm. show than the
no.
Trump era?
No. And that's what I wanted, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about that, because I'm listening to you every morning before I go on with this show, and you're talking about this is the best thing that could have happened for the president. This is the best thing that could have happened for the president. And you're talking about rhetoric from the Democrats that would like to be president. That they're doing President Trump a favor. They're making his case.
Look at the universal background check debate. The president was willing to have that dialogue until he heard Robert Francis O'Rourke mm-hmm. say, we're coming to get your guns.
Yep.
Kamala Harris, we're going to take your guns. We're going to do it. We're going to call it a buyback program. It's nonsense. They want to confiscate our guns. And so Trump's attitude is, no, we're not going to have that conversation. We'll close the door. And they're doing it to themselves, Sean.
Right, because there was a chance. I mean, and it's one of the places that, you know, the president has shown that he would negotiate some things on guns, and even had the NRA step down, you know, and give deference to the president on that. And then they snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. If Mike, the plan is to reduce the number of guns. If the real plan they think is to get the guns off the streets, then they lost. Or if the plan is just for political expediency, then maybe they continue.
See,
I
don't think they negotiate in good faith. I just don't. I don't think their intentions are solid. I think they are politically motivated. I have Kurt Schlichter on my show a lot mm-hmm. from Town Hall, and he has a great mantra about the left. They don't want to just win the argument. They want to crush the other side. They want to destroy people's lives. Ask Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
They want to destroy lives. They want to ruin reputations, and they just don't want to win in good faith. And so that's why Donald Trump, God willing, is going to get another 4 years to be the fighter-in-chief. He pushes back and punches back at them when they go at him. And we've never had a president like this in our lifetime. And it's great for the, it's not only great for the country and those of us who are glad for the fight, it's great for our business. I mean, I know how well FM Talk 106.5 is doing. Mike Gallagher's show, we're at the high water mark of ratings and revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Never had this many people finding us, because they're tired of the Trump bashing. They're tired of conservative bashing. And hopefully we give them an oasis every day from 9 to noon where they can get away from that. They can just hear pro-America conservatism and good debate and good dialogue, breaking news, what to think of it. We do it every day, but the last 2 years have been the most successful we've had in a 40-year career, and I'm grateful to the president for that, frankly.
Well, we're grateful to you for being here, doing your show every day, every weekday here, but being here in person and bringing this attention to this to your charity, but to this fallen officer's family here in Alabama.
Thank you for all you do, and you guys keep fighting the good fight. It's a joy to meet you, and I hope you'll have me back soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Mike Gallagher, thank you so much. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here, and a voice you all know quite well. Dalton, maybe we should get the traffic sound effects and sounder to go behind the voice of Kane, who is, of course, you hear in the mornings and the afternoons here with our traffic reports with Coastal Traffic, but joining us to talk about something else as well. Kane, hey, man.
Hey, man, guys, thank you so much. What a great show you guys have on in the afternoons, and just honored to be a part of it. You know, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and we have teamed up, this is going to be so neat, with the Alabama Wrestling Alliance, and they have a huge show at the Bayou Battery Civic Center. It's coming up this Saturday, bell times at 7:30, but here's a neat thing about this. There's a young kid, and his name is Colin McKinney. He's only 3 years old, and he's been diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. 100% of every dime that we make coming up Saturday goes to his family, and he's only had this for a few months. And we're going to be praying for him Thursday. He has another treatment, so hopefully Saturday he'll be able to make the show. But we're just honored to be able to talk about the show for just a minute, Sean.
Yes. Yeah, tell folks, why are we coming out to, other than the great charitable endeavor here, you got a lot of people and a lot of wrestling going on.
It's crazy. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the new Redneck Island. That's, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin's show. Well, from season 4, Jamie Owens is going to be there singing the national anthem, which is pretty cool. And then beyond that, we have the women's wrestling match, which I wouldn't even get close to these ladies. You've got Brittany Lynn, Casey Lennox, and Lexi Gomez going after it. They're going to have a ladder match, which is incredible, and which is one of the neatest things to see in person, a steel cage match at the end of it. It's the main event, and to just to be a part of that. And the kids love it, Sean. To bring your kids out there, it's only a few dollars to get in, but again, we'll be taking donations. And I've got to say, and we have an incredible list of some items from some great businesses. Of course, you know, the silent auction items, Mobile International Speedway getting us tickets. We've got rooms from the Battle House Hotel and Brooks Joy Resorts in Destin. And one thing I think is probably going to get a lot of people out there is this is a piece of NASCAR history. We have a NASCAR hat worn by Davey Allison in the 1989 Winston 500 at Talladega. He won the race. He put this hat on in Victory Lane. And it's signed by Davey, Richard Petty, and Dale Earnhardt. So we're honored to have that. A good friend of your show's, Dink Stevens, gave it to us from Sonny Callahan, who actually is the Grand Marshal. So we're looking to raise a lot of money for this young kid's family and also to just put on one heck of a great show. And it's fun for the kids. And if you've never gone to one of these things, these events are incredible. It's the Steve Hicks Memorial. It's the third year they've done it. And the person, James Stokes, who owns the wrestling company, Alabama Wrestling Alliance, lost his good friend Steve Hicks to leukemia. So we've teamed up before and done some amazing things for children in the area. We want to do it one more time this Saturday.
You know, it's something you do all the time with your Canes Warrior Kids. Yeah. And mention it, and you do all kind of things during the year. This one, though, I say is one of the more the fun events you've put together, man. This is going to be interesting to come out and watch the wrestling. And you mentioned a ladder match. Okay, I'm going to show my ignorance. What is a ladder match? What happens then?
Well, the what you got to do is be the first one up the top of the ladder, and then and to be honest, I think there's some way where you have to beat the tar out of the guy with the ladder, and it's just, it's the most entertaining thing you're going to see. And I got to tell you, there's one guy out there named Vladimir Koloff. I don't know if you're going to like Vlad. He comes out marching to the Russian flag. He's got a mask on with a Russian side on his face. And he just talks about these pathetic Americans. So I don't know. He might get some booze again this year. But all these guys, they have a huge heart. Even some of the wrestlers last year, they gave the money that they would make to the donations and the cause. And we were able to raise a couple thousand dollars in one night. And we hope to do at least that again this Saturday night at the Bayou LeBattery Civic Center.
All right, Kane, now walk us back through getting somebody listening to us right now. If they can't write all this stuff down, if they go online, should they go to Facebook? Where do they get where?
One thing you want to do is just go to my website. It's caneswarriorkids.com. And that's K-A-N-E-S, warriorkids.com. And if you have Facebook, I encourage you to look up Courage for Colin. And that is C-U-L-L-E-N. That's the young man and family that we're going to be helping out. And it's just an incredible story. Good Christian family that are going through the battle of their lives. And for us to be able to help out in any way, it's just we're doing God's work through wrestling and racing this weekend. We'll have my race car there. The kids will be able to get inside, and we'll probably crank it up a couple times because it's loud and obnoxious. So, you know, it'll be a good time.
I was going to say something else about you meant the race car. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Race car looking pretty good right now?
Yeah, well, one of them is, and that's the one we usually don't race. That's the one we're bringing.
So this is the one you have, one to use and one to put up and keep nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I do race the other one, but to be honest, we've been a very physical racing this year out of the Deep South.
Wait. Physical racing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For a guy like me, does that mean maybe trading paint?
That would be trading paint, leaning on each other. If someone's in your way, you kind of lean on their right rear a little bit to get them spun out of your way. You know, that's the tricks of the trade.
Don't y'all love the fact that, our traffic reporter for the station, on purpose on the weekends goes and causes accidents?
Not on purpose, but it's a great way. If you've had a bad week, get stuck on the Bayway. You really need a race car, Sean.
I just like the fact that I see it like as a way for you. You've been reporting on all these accidents all week long in traffic, and you go, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to show y'all how you start an accident. Watch me
That's
work.
That's right. The Bayway ain't got nothing on me, Sean.
That is too funny. We're talking to Kane. Of course, you hear Kane mornings and afternoons here with traffic on FM Talk 106.5. But Kane's Warrior Kids, his charitable endeavor, helping out kids in our community. And specifically, once again, this weekend, a really fun way to do it. You said, and when the doors, it's at the Bilobattery Community Center. What time's it open up?
The gates open at 6:30, and then they'll have the bell time at 7:30. And they'll do an amazing thing at the beginning. It's a salute to the fallen wrestlers, and all the wrestlers come out. It's silent. They kind of bow their heads, and then they beat the mats with their hands, and it gives you chills. And it's a celebration and just kind of a reflection to wrestlers and other kids that we've lost to cancer. So it's just one of the most touching things you'll see right before these guys and girls go out and just put on one amazing show. And you can also look on Facebook, look up Alabama Wrestling Alliance. You'll see a lot of the guys and gals that are going to be there.
Man, I'm so excited you're doing this, and I hope everybody gets out. And once again, if they go to your website, even if they can't make it out, you're raising money for these families year-round.
Yes, absolutely. Our next big thing is the toy drive at the USA Women's and Children's Hospital. We're looking for a couple places. I know Springfield Toyota is going to be one place where we'll have actually a box set up. You can drop off toys. And last year, we took over $6,000 worth of toys, and we're the largest toy drive at Christmas time. And we've done that every year. We've done it, so we want to continue to try to do that this year. So we'll get through September in this event, and then it's straight to the kids for the toys at Christmas.
See, y'all didn't even know when he was talking about backups on the Bayway or problems at the I-10-65 interchange that he had such a big heart. I've known that for a long time. Kane, as always, man, I appreciate what you're doing for our community, and best of luck this weekend.
Well, thank you, and bless you for what you do for our community. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Kane, there he is, and we'll put the link up on the Facebook page already. You can go to our Facebook page at FM Talk or / FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook and get all that information about the event this weekend in Bilobattery. And Kane's Warrior Kids, check out that website as well. All right, hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way. Lots to do, and we'll talk to you. Phone number, text line, 343-0106.